Hello, hello. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for choosing to spend your Thanksgiving Sunday here with us. It's so cool to see such a packed house and so many different generations. This is awesome. If we haven't met yet, my name is Megan. I am the pastor of youth and preteens here at the church. And yeah, I love it here, guys. Let me just say, I love our church. And that's what this morning is all about. We're so pleased to have our kids in service with us today and our preteens. And yeah, it's just going to be good. Hey, to start off, I've got a question for you all. And we can get my slides up and going if we can. There we go. Next one. You can go to the next one. My turkey friend and I want to ask, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for today? I know Pastor Brendan got you to share with a neighbor, but I want to hear some more. What are you thankful for? Feel free to shout something out, especially kids. You guys, I want to hear. What?
I'm thankful for my home.
You're thankful for your home, for food. Nice. Thanks, Theo. So good. What else? What are we thankful for? Your friends? So good. For food. Amen. Food we're eating later. For what, Kylie?
Drawing.
For drawing. Yes, I know you love to draw. So good. What else are we thankful for, guys? Oh my God, wait, sorry, this was bad. I heard it here.
For my in-laws.
For your in-laws, that's awesome. They're all the way from Washington, did you say? Welcome, we're glad you're here. We're happy to have you with us. What are you thankful for?
Jesus.
For Jesus, amen, we love that. Yes, so true. Awesome, so good. Guys, there is so much to be thankful for. And you.
I'm thankful for Abraham.
Yeah, so good. I know, Abraham, thank you. I didn't hear what he said. Apples to apples. Oh, the game. I love that game. That's a good Thanksgiving game. Awesome. Hey, one thing that I am so thankful for, and it's a classic answer, I am thankful for my family. And when I say that, I don't just mean the family that I'm going to go eat some turkey with later. I mean all of you. Because guess what? Church, the church, is a family. We are all children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible constantly uses family language to describe the church. Paul often referred to the church as God's household. 1 Peter 4:17, it refers to Christians as the family of God. And so all of that to say, hi family, I am thankful that you're here today. This is gonna be so, so great. All right, today, I want to use our time together to really emphasize the beauty of the biblical vision of an intergenerational church family. There's a book I'm reading, it's called Contagious Disciple Making. It says this, the metaphor of family to describe the church has tremendous, that means huge, big, giant implications for the community of believers. Family is the basic building block of society established by God at the beginning of creation. And then that book goes on to say that the Bible defines many components of the ideal family. These include being intergenerational, supportive, encouraging, nurturing, versatile, open to others, loving. The list goes on and on and on. That sounds like a pretty sweet family to me. And in this family, not only do we strive to be all of those things, but we strive to have some fun. And so, today we're going to do our service a little bit differently. Who here is ready for some sword drills? Woo! Okay, come on, wait a second. I know for a fact that this church loves sword drills. We've been known to do this, especially on the service between Christmas and New Year's. We're bringing it in today. Listen, if you've never done a sword drill before, this is what it is. It is a race to see who can find a verse in the Bible the fastest. And let me tell you, there is candy on the line. Okay? Oh, I heard it. What? Yeah, stakes just got higher, people. All right. So while you're pulling out your physical Bibles, and just so you know, there's a bunch in the pew in front of you, in the back of the pew. Okay, so pull those out, and let's go over our rules. Rule number one, swords up. Oh, you can put my next slide on. Rule number one, swords up means you must hold your closed Bible. None of this sticking fingers in there, trying to, no. Closed Bible by the spine, all the way up in the air with a straight arm. Should we practice? Let's see. See, I'm seeing bent arms, people. Come on. There we go, there we go. I like it, I like it. Okay, so you hold it up. Please, only physical Bibles, no phones today. Now, a chapter and a verse will be called out, for example, Mark 1:1, and then I will say, go! Do you open your Bible before I say go?
No.
No cheating, I will call you out. All right, you wait till I say go, you open it. The first one to find the correct verse and stand up, we'll get to read it out loud. Pastor Brendan will come with a mic, and you will win a candy. Now, I'll try my best to spot, because this is a little hard. Brendan and I will try to spot. I think let's do a practice round, actually. So here we go. Bible's up. Bible's up. Anyone that wants to play? Arms in the air. Okay, are you ready? I haven't even said anything yet. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 17. Wait for it. Wait, magic word. Go. There we go. Ephesians 6, 17. Here we go. I'm looking for someone to stand up. Oh, Tate Stanley, let's go. I like that too. He yelled. He was like, I got it. So good. All right, Tate, read it for us.
Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen. Well done. Give it up for Tate. Awesome. Devin, yeah, please go grab Tate a candy. That counts. We love it. All right, so do we understand? We know what we're doing here? All right. That's okay. You got it, buddy. I know. All right. Here we go. We're going to do this one for real, but here's the thing. I'm going to change up some of the rules on who can participate. So we'll have different rounds where different people can participate. For this one, I'm looking at the grandparents in the room. Is anyone a grandparent here? I think I've got quite a few. I'm going grandparents, or if you're old enough to have grandkids and you don't have them yet, maybe we're waiting. That's okay. All right, if you're a grandparent in the room, this one's for you. All right? Okay, are you guys ready? Are we in? We got it? Awesome. Bible's up, grandparents. Here we go. The verse is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Go!
That's in the Old Testament.
That's in the Old Testament. Thank you, Danelle. She's helping them out. I like it. I like it. Okay, I'm looking for somebody to stand up, shout it out. Oh! Brendan, you call it. Who is it? I saw. Oh. I think it's Sally. I think that's Sally Livingstone. All right, Sally, go ahead.
Only say keep yourself, and if you keep yourself, as you forget the things your eyes have seen. And lest they depart from your heart all days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sally. Give it up for Sally. Awesome. I'm going to read the next part of that verse too. It says, remember the day that you stood before the Lord your God when he said, assemble the people before me to hear my words and so that they might learn to revere me, to respect me, to honor me, to love me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. Did you know that the intergenerational church is a vital part of God's vision for his people? It has been since the beginning. Think about it. This is such a blessing to have an intergenerational space like this, right? In community, in society, we're often siloed into our age groups. And while that's great too, it's wonderful to journey alongside people in the same phase of life, we're made for so much more than that. We are made for intergenerational connection. And so the Lord says to his people, meet together. That's what we're doing. Meet together. Don't forget what you've seen. Make sure to pass memories and instructions down through the generations, teaching children and grandchildren. You know what's so cool is that Christianity is never gonna die out because we understand the importance of passing it on to our children. It doesn't end with a single generation. It will continue. We understand the importance of raising up children in the way they should go, the importance of sharing our God moments and memories of faith in action. We know the importance of this morning where we got to model worship to our kids. How beautiful is it that the children get to worship alongside their parents and their grandparents and their teachers and leaders? That's amazing. That is such a blessing and such a privilege. And so if the intergenerational church is such a vital part of God's vision for his people, the question becomes, how do we steward that well? How do we take care of this family, this church family, so that it keeps going? Good news, the Bible has a lot to say about it. So I think it's time for another sword drill. This time, we're swinging the opposite direction. This is for teenagers and younger. All right, this is for kids, preteens, teens. This is for you guys. Parents, you are welcome to help, but just help, all right? All right, let's see. Okay, you guys, Bibles up. Let's see them. Let's see. Arms high. Awesome. Straighten arms. Nathan, put your arms straight. Thank you. Okay. I see you back there. He's got such long arms, too. Awesome. Okay, here we go. Your verse is, hang on, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. See, they're so good. They're so good. Go.
New Testament.
Awesome. New Testament. Thank you, Danelle. Yes. All right, someone to shout out, to stand up, wave your arms around, do a little chicken dance, whatever you want to get my attention. Oh, back here, we've got Jonathan. He popped up. All right, Jonathan, Brendan is coming to you. Awesome. All right, well done.
And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds.
Well done. Thank you, Jonathan, one of our teenagers. Awesome. I'll read the rest of that verse. It says, let us spur one another on and not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. As we know Jesus is coming back, we keep going. How do we steward this family? We need to show each other that we care, right? Spurring each other on to keep loving Jesus and doing good things by meeting up like this, whether it's here in church or at youth or at kids ministry or at coffee time, we meet together, we keep going, we spend time together, we encourage one another. Galatians 6, 1-10 has some really great info in there on how to best serve one another humbly in love and take care of one another. But I really love that last verse, verse 10. It says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should just do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. There's a book Bob Goff writes called Everybody Always, and I love this author. If you've never read his books, he's so fun and so funny, and he actually writes them from Disneyland. I was there once, and I tried to find him. I didn't find him, but anyways, he's great. He writes this book, and it's called Everybody Always, and in it he says this. Well, we can't love people that we don't know. Saying we love one another is simple, but guess what? Doing it is too. So engage people, delight in them, throw a party for them. When joy is a habit, love is a reflex. So how about the people in this room? Do you know them? Do you know your family here? Do you engage the people here? Do you delight in them? Have you thrown a party for them? Do you see them as your family? And I want to note, delighting in and encouraging others and spurring people on to good deeds doesn't just happen from older generations down. It also happens for younger generations up. So kids, I want you to hear me on this. This is your job too. You are the ones that get to encourage and inspire the older generations. You are the ones that get to encourage them to keep going in their faith. I want to challenge you all. kids, parents, teenagers, everyone. I want to encourage you and challenge you today, after the service ends. I know we've got Thanksgiving plans, but don't run out. Just wait. And go and have a conversation with someone who is not a part of your generation. Someone outside of your age range. Go connect with others. And let's show each other that we care, that we want to know more about other people, that we want to have those conversations, even with people who are maybe age removed from us. It's so important. And you know what goes a long way to showing someone that you care, other than bringing them a Starbucks, because pumpkin spice latte, that's, I like those, just saying, with oat milk. Yeah. Anyways, more than just, you know, acts of service and encouraging, something that is so huge to showing that you care about the church family is volunteering. So I just want to first of all shout out all of our volunteers that are in the service today, especially the ones that work with our kids and our preteens and our youth. Thank you guys. You do such an incredible job. And if you want to be more invested in the church, any of you, I encourage you to volunteer, not just with the younger generations, but we can also have you volunteer with coffee time or lamplighters. We would love to have you usher or greet or serve communion. Any way that we can get you on board to serve the church family is amazing. So if you're interested in that, make sure you talk to a pastor after service today. All right, here we go. Let's go for another sword drill. But this time, I need two volunteers. And specifically, I'm looking for a teenager and a parent. And here's the catch. We're going to have the parent have a physical Bible, and the teenager or preteen is going to have a phone Bible. And we're going to try and see which one's better. So do I have any volunteers? Any teenagers and parents that want to... Oh, let's go. Okay, Travis, do you want to come on up? All right, Travis is going to come up. Oh, that's fine. Okay, how about a teenager? Any teenagers? Listen, we got to have someone face off with Travis. Come on. If not, I'm going to call someone out. I'm going to call, I feel like Alana. Alana, are you here? Alana, come on up for me, friend. She knows that I can do that. That's so good. All right. Now, Alana, come here. I gotta hype you up for a second. Listen. Listen, Travis is an elder. He knows his stuff. But I know that you know your phone. So listen. You got this. I believe in you. In the first service, the parent won. So you gotta represent right now. It's a lot of pressure, but you got this. I believe. Do you have your phone on you? Perfect. All right, come on over, friends. Here we go. Oh, I hope you didn't look at the... It's fine, we'll allow it. All right, friends, here's what you're gonna do. Alana, it's gotta start from off. Oh, yeah, because he's got a closed Bible. Not like fully off, but like just screen off, okay? Okay, arms up, perfect, okay, lovely. Here's your verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 to 26, thank you. Go. All right, here we go. Alana is opening, she's typing furiously. Travis is flipping, he's flipping through. Don't let the panic get to you, Travis, you got it. Galatians 5, 25 to 26. Oh, we are neck and neck. Oh, she was right there, I see it. That was this close. All right, Travis, will you read it for us? Well done, thank you. I think Alana gets a candy too. You can go see Brendan. You can have one too, friend. That was awesome. Oh, so good. Please don't hate me for that, Alana, okay? Listen, I love this passage, and here's why. It may not be a typical one that we've got marked in our Bibles, but earlier in the passage, it actually says this. It says, "Do not indulge your sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Because if you bite and devour each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed by each other." Listen, in order to steward this family well, we need to recognize the God-given value of other generations. Now, when I challenged you to go and talk to someone outside of your generation, I know for a fact that some of you were like, oh, I don't know. You tensed up a little bit, you're not sure, because, you know, in your mind, you're like, oh, what if I go up to a teenager, and then they start saying some nonsense I don't understand, like skibbity riz, and like 6'7", 6'7". Like, what does that mean? I don't know either, okay? I don't know. I work with them, I don't know. But listen, I've actually noticed this trend, and you can, like, tell me if you've noticed this too, but each generation, it seems, likes to kind of hate on every generation but their own, especially the ones that are, like, right next to them, right? They like to, you know, riff on each other, right? Gen X is like, they think millennials are soft, and then millennials are like, okay, boomers. And then Gen Z is like, oh my gosh, millennials are so cringe. But then millennials turn around and call Gen Z screenagers. And then Gen Alpha, we don't even know what they're going to turn out like, so we're not sure. And like, what's with that? What's with that intergenerational hate? Well, I'll tell you, it's culture. It's trendy to hate on one another. But we know that God calls us to be countercultural in so many ways, including this one. We're not called to hate on each other. We're called to love one another and follow in his footsteps. We need to lift one another up, recognizing the value that each generation and age range offers, and resist that worldly temptation to belittle or mock or devour. Did you know that wisdom goes both ways? Wisdom can go up just as much as it comes down. Our verse in Deuteronomy talked about teaching our children and teaching our grandchildren, but there's another verse in the Bible that I love, 1 Timothy 4:12. It's one of our main verses for the preteen ministry. And if you're a preteen that knows it, that's awesome. You can say it with me. But it says, "Do not let anyone look down upon you because you're young, but set an example for all the believers in speech, in conduct, in faith, and in purity." Wisdom goes up and down. Recently, we started a volunteer position at our youth group, and I love it. It's called Youth Grandparents. And basically, I have currently just two grandmas that come, and they will set up the snack for us, and they're available to talk and to pray with teenagers, and it's been great. I really love having them. And just this past Wednesday, one of them came up to me during youth, and she had tears in her eyes, and she says, "Megan, you will never believe the most amazing conversation I just had." She said, "I just talked with a youth, and he shared his testimony with me, his story of how Jesus is working in his life, and it moved her to tears because it was so powerful." She said, "I am so encouraged right now." She said, "You gotta go listen to the story." And that's what an intergenerational church is about. We need to learn from and be encouraged by the experience and knowledge and wisdom of the older generation, just as much as we need to be inspired by and energized by the heart and the vision and experience of the younger generation. Let's be a family that recognizes the value in our people, no matter their age. Okay, this is our last sword drill. I'm so sorry I don't have more, but we can do some more fun ones later. And now, because it's our last one, everyone's in it again, all right? This is a free-for-all. Anyone's in it? Although, I will say, if you've already won one, I'm going to count you out of this, okay? But everybody, put your Bibles up. It's the last one. Get ready. Thank you. Oh, yeah, good. I see it. Some of them are, like, putting it down and being like, oh, she looked. Yeah, it's good. All right, here we go. Our verse is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Go! Awesome. Or gobble, gobble, go in the words of our turkeys. Okay. Oh, 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 oh my gosh. We have so many people. We have so many people. Unfortunately, Pastor Brendan has called it down here, but I see you guys. Well done, my friends. That was funny. That was a show off between Pastor Josh and this gentleman here. And you're friends, aren't you? Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. Awesome. All right, go ahead and read it for us.
Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his pastor.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, yeah, let's give it up for him. That was great. That was good. So good. I'll read the next part of that verse. It says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building, the whole family, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. To steward this family well, to have us rise together to become a holy temple to the Lord, we need to seek connection and to bring others in. We are all a part of God's family. If you remember nothing else today, remember that you are a part of God's family. Whether you have kids, whether you have parents, whether you are single, whether you are married, whether you are widowed, it doesn't matter. Everyone is included. It doesn't matter who you are or what family situation you currently have or have had or come from. You are a part of God's family. And here's the thing. If you go to this church and somehow find yourself feeling regularly lonely or disconnected, my friends, that's not okay. That is not what we want for you. We want you to be connected. We want you to be brought in. That is our heart for each and every one of you. So if that's you, please reach out. Don't be afraid to seek connection. And for those of us who maybe don't struggle as much, my extroverts, I'm looking at you, the ones who don't internally panic when a pastor's like, turn and greet your neighbor. You guys, you're so brave. I love it, okay? I need y'all to step up. Right? Go and be the one that brings people in. Be the one that forms connection. It's so important. And when I say that, I don't just mean inside of our church. Yes, we want that connection inside of our church. But remember, when I was reading that quote, I mentioned some ideal concepts or concepts of an ideal family. One of them is being open and welcoming to others. Right? That's so, so important. Thanksgiving, 2008, I think. Maybe 2007. I was 12, 13. And I remember I was chatting with a new friend from school. And this friend, she had it really rough. Like, not a great mental health situation, really messy family situation. It wasn't good. And as we were chatting, I realized that this girl had no plans for Thanksgiving. Her family wasn't doing anything. She barely felt like she had a family. She was all by herself. And so in tears, I literally went to my mom and I said, Mommy, please, can we invite this girl to Thanksgiving? She's all alone. And my mom said, of course we can. Let's do it. We jump in the car, we drive over to the bad side of town, we pick her up, and we bring her home. And my home was warm, and it was my family sitting around the table, lots of food, lots of laughs, united. And it was so beautiful, such a beautiful thing. But get this, how much more beautiful is it to be able to invite someone in to a family that they can call theirs forever? A family where we all serve and love a wonderful, good Father. A family full of children and brothers and sisters that love each other, who care for each other, who see each other's value. How beautiful. Now listen, that dinner did not go super smooth. Here's why. It turned out that my new friend, unbeknownst to me, was a vegan, okay? And bless those of you who are. I think that's amazing, so good. My family is definitely not vegan, okay? So this poor girl, all that she ate for her Thanksgiving dinner was a big bowl of corn. That's all we had that was not vegan. And you know what? It was okay. She liked it. It was good. Sometimes it's not easy to bring people in to the family. Sometimes it's a little scary. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know, are they going to like it? Are they going to feel welcome? Sometimes it's not easy to let yourself be the person that is brought in to the family, to let people see that you struggle, that you're lonely, that you need help, that you need people. But either way, it is always, always worth it. It is always worth it to bring people in. It is always worth it to be brought in. I've thought about that dinner a lot, especially recently. It was kind of not on my mind, and then the Lord brought it back. And honestly, looking back, I get the feeling that that might have been one of the best Thanksgivings that she has ever had, because she was surrounded by love and a family that is united. A.B. Simpson, big like Alliance history guy, he's awesome. He said this, and I love this quote, "The unity of the church was designed by God to be his most powerful witness to the unbelieving world. When we recognize that the intergenerational church family is a vital part of God's vision for his people, when we care for one another, recognizing the value in other generations, when we seek connection and bring others into the family, then not only do we steward our family right here, right now, well, but we also get to witness to the entire world. Because everyone belongs in God's family. Each of us belong in God's family. I hope you know that. What a privilege, what a blessing. I've said it so many times, our intergenerational church family is a beautiful thing. It is a gift. So let's treat it as such. Let's steward it together, okay? Awesome. And now, as a family, we get to come and eat at the Lord's table together. And so I'm going to invite up Pastor Brendan to come and lead us in communion.